Hey, hey, good morning. This is I'm sorry, behavior scientist Tanola Oliver. Thank you so much for joining me for the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free but the hustle is sold separately. I wanted to jump on here this morning and say happy Friday to everybody and just be some encouragement to somebody today. So I was thinking about my journey, and today, or is it this week or this month? I want to say that this month, this is March, this is the month of the anniversary that I decided, I think it's been 7 years now, that I decided to embark upon a journey of entering into, well, stepping on the stage as a comedian and doing stand-up comedy. And so while I haven't had the opportunity to be consistent at it, as I mentioned to you all before, I don't know that I really took it serious. I just needed an outlet, right? I needed a way to spend some of the energy that was in my life so that it could recycle itself in a positive way. And so my way of doing that was to jump on the stage as a comedian and make light of situations that felt heavy to me so that I wouldn't carry that heaviness around, and so that just the feelings that was associated with some of the things that I was experiencing or researched or written about, that I would have an outlet, right, for funneling those feelings and recycling those feelings into positive energy. That's what, for me, entertainment and jumping on the comedy stage, that's why I said before that doing comedy was probably, I felt as free doing comedy as I used to feel doing theater and dancing, right? I had that same euphoria when I was on stage as when I did theater and when I danced. And so today, as I embark upon the anniversary of me deciding to do comedy and bringing that intimate part of myself before the world, right? Because people that knew me privately had seen that part of me, but not people that knew me from the business world. And I didn't even know really how it would be perceived or how it would be taken for me to attempt to try to make that segue. I'm sorry, I'm trying to turn this music up. Okay, there we go. To try to make that segue from the business world to the comedy stage. And again, it was just a hobby, right? And then it turned into a hobby that people were actually paying for my services, right? Which I'm eternally humbled for, right? I particularly Cincinnati, I think I've mentioned to you all before, like Cincinnati has been one of those spots in my life that like they've supported, right? The different parts of my journey that has just been phenomenal. So shout out to Cincinnati, Ohio. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about taking healthy risk, right? It did not, and so is this a prelude to the subject matter that I'm about to present to you as it relates to growing assets and obtaining and the asset growth potentially, because as I mentioned before, it's about relationships. You start with relationships, right? And when you have healthy relationships, you have healthy business relationships, and business relationships lead to economic stability. And so when I hit the comedy stage, because I have family members that were involved in entertainment, whether behind the scenes or out front, people were they were like a lot of people were excited to see me coming, right? And they knew that I had this background of like mediocre entertainment, theater and dancing. They knew I had a love for music and things like that. And so people were like really excited to see me coming. However, they also knew that it was like the first time that I had embarked upon a journey or doing an activity as a single woman. And so, as a single woman, it was scary for me, right? Because I always had the support, the structure, and the foundation of a strong presence of a male individual that fed into my femininity, right? And offered me the ability to be able to show up in spaces in 100% of my femininity. I did not realize that embarking upon the entertainment journey would attempt to rob me of my femininity, right? And those feminine attributes that I naturally had adapted and developed as a woman, because it's a hard space, right? And so I remember, and so when I started out in comedy, still my comedy is put like politically incorrect, slash dark, slash truthful parodies, right? And so I remember I went to one of the first, well, not one of the first, but I remember I went to a comedy club, and the culture didn't necessarily look like me. But the thing of it is that comedy and music is it's a global language. It's an international language. It is it transcends cultures and socioeconomic backgrounds and ethnicities and all those things that we use to separate each other. Comedy and music transcends all of those differences, and we become equitable, right? At the same level when it relates to comedy and music. For the most part, right? Minus the things that people want to or decide to or just take as offense, right? But my comedy, my type of comedy, really the feedback that I received throughout the years is that it was a like a necessary evil. And so it encouraged me to keep going. And then I had to step back again because I needed to do that just for some levity within my household because of certain different demographics of people take and process things certain type of ways. And it was important for me to bring some levity back into my household and not chaos. And so I had to step away from it. Which is unfortunate because, like I said, it was the freest I ever felt. But if I feel free and it causes distractions or problems for somebody else that I care about or I love about, then technically, the way I process the relationships is that technically I'm not free unless all of us is free, right? The people that I love and care about. And so I had to find different ways I had to find different outlets for for my desire to display my talent as a comedian that would fit the lifestyles of the people that I loved and cared about. And so this was supposed to be like 10 minutes. And I spent all that time unpacking that, right? Like I haven't even made it to the point yet. Like that was the prelude. That was the outline, so to speak. And so my point is that I remember stepping into a comedy club that was in an area and a demographic of people that did not look like me. It was like a it just was a non ethnic environment. And I remember the club owner. It was like when I stepped into the environment, it was like I felt like people were anticipating and expecting me, right? And so and it was the one environment that I mentioned, I think prior, that one of my favorite comedians had sent someone to see me. And it was an Asian woman. Remember I told you about that? But because it was my like one of my first, right, as a single woman versus a married woman, like I took all of these emotions and feelings, and all of that. That's the thing about being an entertainer, is when you step on stage, all of that rushes into the environment with you. And I was trying to find my equilibrium as a comedian in a new space, as a new woman, right? Not as the woman that I had been, but as a single woman. And what does that feel like? And it was the first time that the type of comedy that I do potentially could have felt uncomfortable because of the environment that I was in. And so I was trying to find my equilibrium, my comedian equilibrium, and so all I kept thinking is all I can do is show up and be myself, regardless of who the people are, right? And so it was so funny because it was myself and it was my fellow comedian peers and the woman, right? She offered us her spiel, how much time we would have. She offered us the list, who was going up first, and what we could do as we were waiting, where to enter, where the restrooms were. Right, she offered us her, professional spiel as a club manager, and then she says, "Don't be an asshole," right? And in that moment, I realized that, like, I felt like everybody in the room was like looking at me, right? I felt like everybody was like everybody's attention in the room. Like, it was like a still moment. And I felt like everybody was looking at me. And she, like, described and like leaned to her perspective of what she felt like being an asshole was, like heavily, like heavy racial jokes and jokes loaded with political commentary and things like that, right? It was my material that she was talking about, right? And so then while I had all these emotions bubbling over within me, now I'm like, oh crap, like, what do I do about my material? So I'm already, feeling some type of insecurity about my material because I'm in a new environment, right? And then she specifically says, "Don't be an asshole." But my comedy is assholic, right? And so, it was my turn to go up on stage, and I remember I grabbed that microphone like I totally blanked out, and I hollered at the top of my voice in the best country accent I had. in front of an audience that looked nothing like me, and I yelled hee haw out into the audience, right? And the room, like, I could feel her piercing at me, right? Like, it was a moment that you had to be there. But all of that nervousness and all of that, like, it, like, dissipated once I was on stage and I had the microphone in my hand. But my point is that there were so many people that I met within that particular journey. And I would say that the journey is fluid. Like, I'm still traveling in that journey. I have met some wonderful people. And on the anniversary of me embarking upon this comedic journey as a comedy writer and as a moonlighter, right? Like, I moonlight as a stand-up comedian when I need a break from the business world. I just want to say thank you. As comedians and as entertainers, we have like this secret language amongst each other. And in my storytelling and in my comedy act, my fellow comedians had the ability to discern the message that was hidden in the laughter. And together, they formed an amazing support group of individuals that served as support and protection for me when I was traveling alone, sleeping in cars, right? Because there was times as a single mother that I didn't have money for hotels. And people knew, like, it wasn't a secret, right? And they formed this circle of protection or sphere of protection around me. And not only did they embrace me and pull me into that fold, but that same level of protection and earnest love and care, they also embraced my teenage son. And when I tell you that, because a lot of people think that entertainers, that we're all assholes, right? And to a degree, I would say some of us probably really look like that, right? But entertainers, and do not all of us, but some of us have those attributes in our journey and in our life that have, we become outliers, right? And the book Outliers, the lived research study on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, those very intricate moments and experiences in life that individuals have to overcome and push to their level, their next level of greatness. I have the most amazing support group that enveloped myself and my son. And their tolerance for foolishness, not just towards me, but as it relates to my son, is at ground zero. And I, not because they felt the message in the laughter. And many of them, alpha males and strong men, watch their mothers, right, experience the journey, maybe not in entertainment and comedy, but experience life as a single woman raising them. And I just want to admonish people this morning to understand, and I said this before, that when you are attempting to be when you have to be cognizant that offense is real. And when you attempt to offend someone or to place someone at a level of disadvantage because of your own personal biases and prejudices, that there is somebody who loves, cares about that person, who operates at level zero, right? Because that person reminds them of themselves, or that person reminds them of their mother, or that person or situation reminds them of their childhood. And I just want to say today to entertainers, particularly those whose paths I've crossed with, those at entry level and those who have, right, are at the levels of power and influence. On this day of an anniversary of me embarking upon my comedy journey, though it has not been like whatever it is, like I don't have the ability to define it, whatever it is, right? I just want to say thank you. Thank you for embracing me. Thank you for demonstrating your love and your strength towards myself and my son. And thank you for providing an example and enveloping us, particularly my son, in a influence of alpha masculinity. And thank you for your protection of him and myself in spaces, right? Thank you for that. And I am eternally grateful. Thank you for trusting my voice. Thank you for encouraging me to keep pushing forward. Thank you for continuously sending me opportunities, even after I said I was no longer interested, right? Thank you for continuing to send me opportunities. Thank you for creating a space for me. And thank you for not just loving me, but loving me as a mother, and therefore loving my son, and creating a pathway for a single mother and her son. I have no way of articulating that. And there are days when I wake up and I feel like the most luckiest woman in the world. And then you all know through experience, as you're attempting to embark upon this journey, you encounter people who that see your hard work as favor. And I'm not saying that there is not favor on my life. Like, definitely, I've had some favorable situations. However, hard work has created pathways and doors for myself and for my household. And I've done my measure, and then the Lord has done his measure. And it takes people like you, who are loving and compassionate and have a heart towards a mother and a son. And I just want to say thank you. And you have created a space, not just for me as a single woman, but you've created a space for my son and the woman that he chooses to marry, to be able to operate in space, in his full ability and talent. And you've done that strategically, without my input, and in my inability to find some sort of levity, right? And you know, where is my equilibrium as a businesswoman? where's my equilibrium as a faith walker, right? As a God believing, Bible feeding individual, and then where's my equilibrium as a businesswoman? Like how all of those components have meshed into one, and you've made opportunities for me, and you've encouraged me to keep pursuing those opportunities, not just for myself, but to lay a path and a journey for my son. And I'm excited about his future because the woman that he chooses and the woman that he marries will be a very lucky woman. And you all did that for me. And I am eternally grateful for you operating at ground zero tolerance as it relates for my son. And for him to be able to feel that protection, that safety, and that support in tangible ways. And I just want to say thank you. And I appreciate you. I'm losing my voice, so now it's time for me to stop talking. I appreciate you at levels that maybe one day I'll be able to articulate. But my contribution for people understanding what that looks like and what that feels like is through my literary work, Outliers, the lived research study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and what it means when the right people show up in your life and see your talents and your abilities despite rough spots in your life and push you to maximum levels. When the world gets it, right? The world is able to produce people like Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. And it takes the psyche and the understanding of people like Eminem and Dr. Dre that says that this gentleman is an outlier and we need to do everything that we can, the Jay-Z's of the world, the whoever, right, to say, we see this person. And I'm saying I'm bringing in his peers because it also takes a certain level of support, not just from the administrative support that you receive, like Dr. Dre and Eminem. Definitely, it took them at 150% to push him. But then it also takes some accountability from peers, right? To support and feed into the talent versus instead of pushing toxicity towards the individual. And that takes, and I just can't articulate it. So maybe I should just stop attempting to articulate it. Only entertainers understand what I'm talking about. And only entertainers will understand the energy that I'm referring to when entertainers are all in one space and on stage and performing, right? That is a feeling that I wish I could bottle it up and sell it so that people could know what I'm talking about. But it is euphoric. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to enter into those spaces and have those experiences. All right. So this is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. This is the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free and the hustle is sold separately. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And until we see each other again, live in the overflow. God bless you and shalom. Peace.